You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Thankful for his presence this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thankful to be in his house this morning. Thankful for his presence. Thankful that we do have freedom. Amen. Freedom to worship, freedom in Christ. Scripture says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Not just set you free, but made you free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Amen? Hallelujah. There is a liberty. There is a freedom in Christ. And I believe that it's in his presence where we receive our most freedom, as we release ourselves to him. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a release that comes in the presence of the anointing and the worship and the flow of the word. There's just as much ministering, just as much word that goes forth, just as much touch of the presence of the Lord in worship as there is in preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to see all of you this morning. It looks great looking back across there. Hallelujah. It looks great looking back across there. So thank you for being here. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in the house. Happy Mother's Day to my mom today. Every woman in the house touches lives of children some way. I don't care who you are, whether it's your own children or not. You touch the lives of children in some way, and you are molders and builders of their dreams. So we honor you today as women of the faith, and thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of this house. Amen. Honor my mom today, one of the most important women in my life, probably the strongest influence in my life, her and my dad. And I am who I am today because of her. And so I honor her. She's my traveling partner, and she's my encourager. Amen. And I stand here today because of her encouragement, because many a times I would have cut and run and went the other direction and didn't see it in myself. But she did. So I thank her for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew, wasn't going to be all sappy today, but good luck with that. Good luck with that one, right? And of course, my daughter is here today with my first grandbaby, and so she is the love of our life, and I'm so proud of my girls and proud of my grandbaby. Amen. So I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I thank God for his blessings. Amen. Anybody in here blessed today? Yeah. Anybody here because you had a mom? If you don't have anything else to celebrate, you had a mom somewhere that birthed you. Amen. Good, bad, or indifferent, however that works, I don't know, but you know, whether it was a good experience or a bad experience, find somebody to love. Amen. Find somebody to share in the bounty of your love, and to give God glory for being here today, being alive, being healthy, being able, good enough to come to the house of the Lord and to celebrate his presence. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start out of Matthew chapter 13 this morning. We, in our Wednesday night Bible studies, have been doing a series on the parables. And so I kind of thought, you know, I'll do this study on parables, and that'll be a direction to go for a while, because there's lots of parables in the Bible, in case you didn't know. There's a good many of parables in there. Only to find, and thinking that would be an easy thing to just each Wednesday night, I would look at a different parable, and that'd be an easy direction. You know, I'd already know where I'm going. And only to find out that parables are way harder than I thought they were. Way more complex and way more to the parables than I had anticipated, and way more difficult than I thought it may be. But it's been a good challenge to me, and it's been, I think, a challenge to our thinking, to think higher, to think bigger, to think outside of the box sometimes of what we see just a surface thing. We look at the Bible so many times and interpret it and understand it on our own Western mindset and in our own culture of the day. But how many know most of the scriptures don't aren't interpreted always in that same way, amen, because there's different cultures, there's different customs, and so sometimes by just reading on the surface, we miss some of those things that are in there and some of the different elements of it. And I definitely believe we can take them on a surface understanding and you know, and go from there. But how many know everything in the Bible is a picture of the person of Jesus Christ? And so when I read it and I look at it, I wonder, Lord, what is your grace speaking in this message? What are you saying to us in this above and beyond what we think we might see on the surface? And so one of those scriptures was Matthew 13 and verse 33. Carlin will go ahead and put that up for me. And I'm going to jump off from one of the, so some of you on Wednesday night heard a little bit of this, but I'm going to take it a little bit of that direction today. It says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now that says she took it and hid it in three measures of meal. Another interpretation says three seahs. My Bible says 7.5 gallon of flour. Another one says 3/4 of bushel of flour. That's a lot of flour. Amen? That's a lot of flour. Now growing up, you know, you've heard me tell this story before. My mom was a baker. My dad wasn't the milkman, but my mom was the baker. And so we had 9 of us in our family. And so my mom made bread a lot of the time. Most of the time she made the bread that we ate. And Robert's grandfather would bring us by a bag of flour every now and then, a 25-pound bag of flour back in that day. Sometimes he would bring it. Mom never made 25-pound of flour, but he knew she'd always have extra. And they would. That's a big biscuit. That's a big biscuit. And sometimes we'd get squirrel, and she'd make squirrel gravy, and she'd make homemade bread. And you know, it still really doesn't get much better than that. Fried sunfish, some of those kind of things. The country coming out in me this morning. But she would get that flour, and she would mix up a batch of bread. 5-pound, 10-pound bag of flour. Amen? But you could put all of those ingredients in there. And she tells the story about the one time that she made up her batch of flour and put all of the ingredients in and then forgot to put the yeast in it. Well, you might could do without the sugar a little bit. You might could do without the salt a little bit. You might even could do without the oil a little bit. But you cannot go without the yeast in bread. It's called hockey pucks when you don't put yeast in the flour. Amen? If any of you have ever baked anything, biscuits, you put your baking powder in, bread, you put your yeast. The yeast is a living, breathing organism that you put into that bread. It's activated by the warmth of the water. It feeds off of the sugar that's in there. And when it does, it gives off gas. Can you say amen? And that gas, that breathing, the eating of that organism is what causes that loaf to be enlarged. It's what causes it to raise. It's what gives it life. It's what causes it to come alive. Amen? And if you scald the yeast or if you don't work it just right. Now, biscuits are one of those things. I am not a very good biscuit maker. I'll just confess. Dan's mom was a Southern girl. She was from Kentucky. She could make biscuits that would float in the air. My biscuits are hockey pucks. Because here's the deal. Baking powder, you mess with it, you stir it more than about 3 or 4, 8, 6, 8 times, you're done. That's all it's going to work. But yeast, you can knead that stuff, you can work it, you can squeeze it, you can let the air out of it, it'll come back. It's just a little more pliable. So that's more down my alley. Amen? And so she would make that bread, and then you would start to see, it would just look like a lump of dough. But all of a sudden, you would start to see something happening. Something begins to come alive in that, and it starts to take on a form of its own. It starts to be enlarged. It starts to breathe. It starts to enlarge. It starts to grow. Amen? And there is nothing better than the smell of homemade bread in the oven. They ought to make air fragrances, you know, air sprays and candles and things that ought to be with the homemade bread scent, you know, because nothing smells better than the scent of homemade bread. Hallelujah. And so, you know, and when I thought about the scripture one talked about today, I thought it was kind of funny because it reminded me of my mom. And, you know my testimony that I got saved while my mom was making homemade bread. And so that's kind of partial, you know, it's kind of something special to me in that way. And maybe that's why I love bread so much. I don't know. But, you know the story, and I'll just quickly share that my mom come to know Jesus as her personal Savior. She was 26. She brought this to mind the other day. She was Hannah's age with six children. So think about all of you that are about the age of 26. She was 26 years old and had six children. And she was not in a happy marriage, and it was not, not a great situation in her life. And my Aunt Jenny invited her to go to church with my grandmother Barker. Thank God for her. And while she was there on a Sunday morning with all of her six kids in distress and despair, come to the end of her line, end of her rope, God spoke to her that Sunday in church, and she gave her heart to the Lord. With all six of us attached to her in some way, I'm sure. And she gave her heart to the Lord. And my dad came to pick her up that day. He'd lost his keys. He'd been out and drinking and had a rough weekend. And he came to pick her up. And it wasn't a good time in the car on the way home. But how many know God did something in her heart that day? Because she was in a place of desperation in her life. Everything that she had looked for, all of her hopes was gone. All of her dreams was gone. She could see no way out of where she was in her life. But the power of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad today for the power of the Holy Ghost? See, I love altar services. I love the power of God. I love the opportunity. And when I sing that song this morning, freedom rings in this place. I thank God for the freedom. I thank God for freedom because I know God can deliver. I know He can deliver an alcoholic. I know that He can deliver. You know, I know where our home came from. Yes. Amen. I know where we came from. Everybody says, what's your background? They want to know what your credentials is, what's your degrees. Well, ours is heathen. That's just where we came from. We were just heathen. But the power of God to touch and to change lives and to redirect us in our life. And so as I was sitting at the table one morning and mom began to share about getting saved. And as a little girl, I didn't know what it means to be saved. I didn't know what all that stuff was about. And she said, well, I just asked Jesus to come into my heart, and He did. And so, you know, your mom would never steer you wrong. I figured if it was okay with her, for her, it was okay for me. And I got down from the table where it used to be in the dining room there. And I went in on the couch that was along the wall. It was painted orange at that time. If y'all remember, our living room used to be painted orange. Got down beside the couch there on my knees, and I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Hallelujah. You can believe what you want to believe, but at the age of 3 to 4 years old, I felt the power of God. I felt God touch my life. Hallelujah. When I see this little girl up here dancing this morning, I don't take those things lightly. When I see these kids jumping up and down and their hands raising and they hear the music start, they may not understand everything they're doing, but don't misinterpret what they're doing and don't underestimate the power of God to touch them in their lives. There'll be a day, Jake and Redina, that she'll remember standing here at this altar and feeling the power of God. There's a day when they'll look back and say, I remember dancing in church. I remember the feeling that I had. I remember the power of God to touch me from the littlest to the biggest. So I believe in the power of God. And so then I came back from there and just got back up on the table and I said, Mom, I just asked Jesus to come into my heart. And can I tell you this morning, He will never leave you, never. Nor forsake you. Never. We may try to leave Him. We may mess up. We may blow it from time to time. But I'm going to tell you, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And if you've been preached to God, any other God than that, you've been preached the wrong God. He's not mad at you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's not embarrassed by you. He's not ashamed of you. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they had eaten of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, we're still today, I believe, thousands of years later, still eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of eating of the tree of life. Because can I tell you, if they'd eat of the tree of life, they'd have known they were already like God and they lived in the express image of God. But they live with a mixed emotion and a mixed mind that I'm good, but I'm bad, and I'm good, and I'm bad. And most people I know are still living in the realm, well, I'm good today. Oh, I thought I was gooder than that. I'm good, then I'm bad, I'm good. He loves you. No matter what. No matter what. Can anybody in here raise your hand and say, thank God for the times He didn't walk away from me. I may have failed Him. I may have tried to walk away from Him, but He was right there with me all the time. He's protected me. He's saved me. I can't tell you the times that God has intervened in my life to steer me in the direction that I needed to go, not knowing that my own direction was self-destructive, but by the power of God to direct me in the path that He would have me to go. Hallelujah. And so thank God for the overwhelming power. So the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and she hid it in 3 measures of meal. Thank God for the day when my mom took a little bit of leaven and hid it in the midst of our family. And we didn't know the power of the leaven. We didn't know the power of the kingdom of heaven. We didn't know the power of faith. We didn't know the power of small beginnings. We didn't know the power of God to begin to make something different out of what we had already known. Hallelujah. How many know God caused life to come into a desperate situation? So if you're sitting here today and you've got people on your heart, or maybe it's yourself and you're thinking, God, I'm in a desperate situation. I need you. I need power. I need to overcome some things in my life. Can I tell you, I know that God this morning. I serve that God. I serve a powerful force. There is power. I told you last Sunday, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. To touch and to change every aspect of your heart and every aspect of your life. And if we truly will yield ourselves to God and say, God, I'm here for you. Whatever you can do with my life. Hallelujah. Kevin's got the shirt on this morning. I believe it is. It's my dad's testimony. He simply said in his bed one night, the power of God came into his room and he simply said, God, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. I don't even know what that means. He didn't even know what that means at the time, but if you'll save me, I'll serve you. Hallelujah. My mom, my grandmother had sang him a little song. And the song was, Daddy, you can't go with us. You can't be our daddy anymore. We're going on to be with Jesus. And as much as my dad loved his kids in his own way, he really didn't know how to love because he didn't grow up in a home that knew how to love. He grew up in an alcoholic home. He grew up in an abusive home. But he said, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he did that. He was good to his word. He made the commitment to God. And because of men and women of faith in my life, I stand here today in the blessings of the Lord and say, thank you, God, for the power of the cross. Aren't you glad this morning for the power of the cross? Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about getting to heaven, kingdom of heaven. And I believe in the heaven. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in the heaven. I believe in the veil. I believe there are those that stand behind the veil that are cheering us on. I believe it's closer than we ever thought it is. And I believe there is a hero hall of faith, hallelujah, that are cheering us on. But it says the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. The kingdom of God is not just meat and drink. It's not touchable, tangible things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many are glad for peace in your life? How many are glad for the joy of God in your life? And the righteousness simply means to be put in right standing with God. I'm so thankful today to stand here and say, I am in right standing with God, not by virtue of anything that I've ever done, but by virtue of the cross. I stand here in the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If there are things in your life that are robbing your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, surrender it to God. Surrender it to God. Hallelujah. It's just like a little leaven. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't underestimate the power of faith. Hallelujah. Go over to Genesis with me this morning. That's where I want to take my text. Genesis chapter 18. We start at verse 1. Hallelujah. Don't ever despise small beginnings. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1, God begins to speak a word to Abraham. And he begins to give him some promises that seem unreal. Unrealistic. And God spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, your seed is going to be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. That's a great promise, right? Amen. That your generations, your seed, are going to be as the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens. Only we got one problem. Sarah is unable to bear children and nothing is happening. So it sounds like a great promise, but it looks like the impossible. Amen? And so they get some ideas and they try to make God happen in their own way. Anybody ever try to help God out? Bad idea. Bad idea. We get some great ideas and think, God, I got this all figured out. If you just follow along with me, I'll just show you how we can get this thing done. Am I the only one in the house this morning? You know, I'm guilty sometimes of telling God just how I think it could be done. And then sometimes I got to stop and say, Lord, your will be done. You are all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent God. You know the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. But we always want to jump in and help God out and show God what he could do and how he could fix things. And so Abraham and Sarah, they got some ideas, not great ideas. How many of somebody's always going to get hurt when you think you got God figured out, when you try to help God out? And so here they are in the midst of everything they've tried to do to make God's promise happen, and it's not happening. Anybody believe in God for some promises in your life? Yeah. Hallelujah. Anybody got some prophetic words over you're waiting on God to move and say, God, I'm still waiting on those words. I believe your word. I believe what you promised, but I'm waiting to see the fulfillment of that word. Sometimes the hardest thing is the wait. Amen. To be patient. Say, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to perform it in your way. Because see, here's what happens. When God performs it in his way, it's done right. When we try to help God out, we get all kinds of detours and sidetracks and all kind of thing going on. But if we'll just trust God, say, God, I know your promises. We sang it this morning there. Yes and amen. Yes. Hallelujah. God's promises are yes and amen. So it says, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. See, I think some of us are sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day under an oak tree with our heads in our head in our hands saying, okay, God, I've tried to figure it all out. I don't know how this works out. I need you to perform your word. I need you to do the impossible. And he said, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye to come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran out unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now the scripture says when he saw the 3 men coming, he hastened to them and said, don't pass by me. Come and sit down here with me. Come into my house. Let me fix you some victuals. Let me cook you up something to eat. I'll get Sarah to get the bread started. And it says she made up 7.5 gallon of flour. Now I don't know why she made up so much bread for 3 visitors and who all she was feeding, but how many know this woman's prepared for a feast? She's got some major bread working. And what they would do back in that day, they didn't just go to Junior's Old Store and buy cake yeast, Fleshman's cake yeast. I mean, you know, they had to keep a starter going all the time, kind of like, you know, those Amish cakes or them buttermilk cakes, how your grandma used to keep the starter sitting on the back of the wood stove, and you just add a little in and you just keep on going. But the scripture says when they saw the men who had come to the house of Abraham, they got up out of the place where they were and they began to make preparation. And I think that's prophetic in this word today. You know, sometimes we can sit there and say, God, I need you to perform your word. God, where is your promises? God, everywhere I look, I'm still barren. Everywhere I look, nothing is happening. But all of a sudden, when they began to see the visitors, the angels of the Lord who had come by, all of a sudden they had to get up out of their place and they had to start making some preparation. Amen. They had to start making some plans. They had to start doing something. You know, regardless of whether you see in fulfillment everything you've prayed to God for, start making some preparations in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to start making some provisions and say, God, I'm going to believe you. I'm just going to start acting like the promise is coming, and I'm going to start living out of the place where I think I'm walking in the promise, and I'm just going to start doing everything I know to do to live in the promise of God. Hallelujah. And so they began to make preparation. And as they made preparation and they began to make provision for the men of God, the scripture says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. She's still making, cleaning up the mess. I'm guessing she had to make hoe cakes because it takes a little while to get bread going. Amen. You know, hoe cakes, that's that fried bread. When you don't wait till it's totally raised because you're hungry now and you need a little bit of hoe cake, you squeeze off a little bit of that dough and throw it in a little bit of hot oil, and it raises up and has about the flavor, the texture of a donut. You can put butter on it and apple butter. You can put cinnamon and sugar. You can powder it. You can dip it in eggs. You can do anything you want to. I believe God divinely loves hoe cakes. Amen. Hallelujah. If you haven't had hoe cakes, you need to hook up with somebody who knows how to make a hoe cake. So I believe Sarah probably fixed them up a hoe cake. Amen. Hallelujah. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. She's still cleaning up the flour. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was way behind. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman of women. Now that's King James versions for saying she'd already gone through the change. See, God began to speak a prophetic word into their life when it seemed like the day had already passed. When it seemed like the moment of opportunity had already ceased or already slipped by, God begins to speak. I mean, you know, God can show up at a funeral 4 days late and still be on time. Hallelujah, because he is resurrection and he is life. And so he shows up at the house of Abraham and Sarah and starts talking all crazy, like, your wife Sarah, she's going to conceive and she's going to bear a child. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Hallelujah. How many know Sarah's going through the change? Yep. Hallelujah. Sarah's going through some change. Yep. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just have to say, pardon me, I'm going through the change. I mean, no, there's some change in our lives sometimes it takes needs to take place. And I'm not just talking about women changes. I'm talking about a change, a process of God moving in and amongst us, building that seed of faith in us. Hallelujah. To do the impossible. How many know sometimes God waits till there is no other way that you can know beyond the shadow of doubt that this is God and nothing else? Hallelujah. This is God and nothing else. There's no way. There's been some times in my life here lately when I have to stand back and say, you know, some things I can reason away. Sometimes I can say, oh, that's just people or that's just circumstances. But there's sometimes when I say, that ain't nothing but the Holy Ghost. That ain't nothing but the divine power of God, the favor of God to move in situations where it seemed like it shouldn't happen. And all of a sudden, when I thought it was already past and when I thought it was already gone, all of a sudden I get a visitation from God, and God says, get up and get the dinner ready, because I'm about to do something incredible. I'm about to bring life out of death. I'm about to do something that's all about me. It's not even all about you. It's about what I can do in you. If you'll just allow me to work inside of you, I will do the miraculous. Hallelujah. Anybody in here today ready for God to do the miraculous in your life? Hallelujah. And it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I am waxed old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Sarah's response to the word of the Lord in her life is she laughs. I figure it like this. You've got two options. You can laugh or you can cry. The scripture says she is well stricken in age, but the desire of her heart is not affected by the age on the calendar. The promise of God is not determined by the day and time. Hallelujah. How many know it's determined by a visitation of God? And when she hears the word of God, and it sounds so incredibly wonderful and so terribly unrealistic, she laughs. I would have been having a hysterical laughing fit. Then I would have probably cried. Then I would have probably laughed again. Hallelujah. Because at this point, I'm not sure where my heart would be. Hallelujah. I'm not sure where my heart would be. But all of a sudden she says, shall I have pleasure again? Hallelujah. Shall I have pleasure again? That since I am old and my husband is old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Say that with me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Are you asking God for anything today? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. Anybody believing for the impossible? Me and Ron and Sherry, we're believing for the impossible. Oh, there we got a couple. Anybody in this house today believing for the impossible today? The scripture says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe you need God to move in finances. Maybe you need God to move in houses. Maybe you need God to move in jobs. Maybe you need God to move in families. Maybe you need God to move in children. Maybe you need God to move in your churches. Maybe you need God to move on your grandkids. Somebody in here needs God to do something today. And I'm declaring to you, is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. And as you say it, I want you to laugh out loud and say, Lord, I'm going to laugh my way through this one. I can either cry or I can laugh. But I'm going to tell you, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I've just made up my mind. I'm going to start laughing my way through, because crying gives you wrinkles, makes my face all red. I am not a pretty crier. I am an ugly crier. I just decided I don't like crying. I want to laugh my way through. And if God wants to speak the impossible, I'm going to throw my head back and I'm going to laugh and I'm going to say, is there anything? I said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to get a giggle way down in your belly and you got to get a good laugh going on and you got to say, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but today I'm going to laugh. Hallelujah. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Hallelujah. If you got dry bones this morning, you need to prophesy to those dry bones and begin to declare, live, live, live. Hear ye the word of the Lord. There is nothing too hard for my God. Hallelujah. And see, I love this, because Sarah laughs and says, yeah, right. I'm old. He's old. I'm old, he's older. And you look in the mirror and you're thinking, hallelujah. See, I'm quit calling them wrinkles and start calling them laugh lines. Amen. And they began to look in the mirror, and what they saw in there did not look like the promise of God. How many know I've said to you for years, you got to look beyond what you see. You got to quit looking at the circumstances of right now and believe God beyond your circumstances. Believe God beyond the promise. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, and she laughed, and they said, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yes, you did. You laughed. She said, I had two choices. I was either going to laugh or cry. And I've decided to laugh. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you just got to throw your head back and laugh about some things. Because crying don't fix it. Mourning doesn't mix it. Pouting doesn't fix it. Laying around moaning and groaning doesn't fix it. Sometimes you got to get up out of the tent. You got to get a little bit of faith. You got to get a little bit of leaven and start mixing somewhere. Hallelujah. You got to start doing something. You got to embrace the word that comes. You got to embrace with faith what God has promised to bring to pass. Hallelujah. And you got to laugh about things. How many know that God brings a son into their life and that baby's name is Isaac? Anybody want to take a guess at what Isaac's name means? laughter. Hallelujah. God has caused me to laugh. God has brought laughter back into my life. Hallelujah. He has taken away my mourning. He has taken away my sorrow, Brother John, and he has given me laughter and joy. Hallelujah. How many know weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning when we know where our source of strength and our source of life and our source of faith is not in external circumstances, but it's in a God who can do the impossible. Hallelujah. A God that can do the impossible. Hallelujah. Give me the scripture out of Proverbs 31, Carlin 25, if you would. Hallelujah. Yep, that's right. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. You got to love this woman. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She makes him look good. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful, we backed up one, colorful linens and silks. Verse 23. That's the one I need in the NIV, I believe. Hallelujah. The Proverbs 31 woman is this, you know, like big woman with this great, great big red S on her chest. Anybody ever read the Proverbs 31 woman? Like, she's a real estate agent. She's a businesswoman. She's a seamstress. She's a cook. She makes her husband look good in the gates. She's just like, she has got it all together. And she's, it starts out by, they're trying to tell King Lemuel, about what the worth and the value of a good woman. Amen. Her price is far above rubies. If you can find a good woman, you can find a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And she says, he says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And he talks all about this, this virtuous woman. I need it in the NIV, Carlin, if you can. And it's, she does all these wonderful things. And I used to think, man, if I could do all this stuff, I could just be like that virtuous woman, And I can't hardly buy my kids clothes off the rack, much less make them, sew them, cut them out, sew them. I can imagine the fight that would have been at our house, trying to dress my own children with something I made for them. Joy knows I bring my hemming to her. So, that was not my virtue. But there are those who have that virtue, Sister Joy. Hallelujah. That can do all those tapestries and silks and sew and all of those wonderful things. But what I realized is that this woman is not a virtuous woman because she can do all of these wonderful things. But because she is a virtuous woman, she responds out of who she is. Hallelujah. How many know none of us are virtuous in our own strength, but out of who we are. Jesus, when the woman touched him, he said, who touched me? For I felt virtue flow out of me. It's by virtue of who he is, it's by virtue of who I stand in him. I am virtuous. I am a virtuous woman. I am a Proverbs 31 woman today by virtue of who he is. Not by who I am. Hallelujah. We don't have an NIV. Okay, I'll just read it in this. Do you have it? Aaron's got it. I just like the way. Oh, okay.
A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come.
Another translation says she laughs without fear of the future. Here's what I like. She does all of those wonderful things, but she knows how to laugh. This is a girl who knows how to have fun. That's important. Because after you've done all of those things, you better have some energy left to laugh. Amen? I mean, this is an amazing woman. And so all of these wonderful things. But how many know the laughter, the power of laughter in our lives? If there was one thing that I wish I could go back and do over in raising my children, I wish we'd have laughed more. Fussed less. And we had a lot of great laughs. But let me tell you, they are this age today, and they're graduating high school or college or whatever tomorrow. Spend way more time laughing than you do crying. Spend way more time affirming people than you do condemning. Spend way more time on encouraging than discouraging them. Invest in people. You can invest in the stock market. It's going to fail you. The bottom will fall out of it. Invest in people. Because you will always get a return. Invest in children. Because you will always get a return on that. Take more time to laugh in your life. And when everything seems impossible and insurmountable, and it seems like the day has passed you by, and you've already gone through the change, and God begins to speak something new and something fresh into your life, throw your head back and laugh and say, bring it on, God, because I'm ready for whatever you've got in my life. I'm not going to call it done until you call it done. So if you want to birth something out of this womb of my heart, if there's something that you want to birth out of this life, I'm just going to throw my head back and laugh and say, God, bring it on. Hallelujah. I'm going to laugh without fear of the future. I'm going to laugh without fear of failure. And I'm going to trust God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think to perform. Yep. Hallelujah. In our lives. I declare to you today that I'm going to spend more time laughing than I am crying. I mean, you got to purpose that in your heart sometimes. Sometimes you just got a purpose to get up sometimes and put on your happy face. Sometimes you got to put on your precious Jesus face. Hallelujah. And when you start laughter somewhere, can I tell you, laughter is contagious? Hallelujah. The other Sunday when Sister Wilda told me she had plumbing problems and I thought she was talking about her, I said, oh my goodness. And she said, no, I got to get a new well and a new spigot. I said, oh, thank God, we can fix that. I thought you were talking about your plumbing. And we laughed and giggled, and we felt 10 years younger when we got started, didn't we, Wilda? I mean, sometimes you just got to laugh.
The Bible says laughter's
better than any medicine. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me tell you, if you lose your joy, it is hard to be strengthened in situations. It's hard sometimes to stand up without joy or peace in your heart. How many know sometimes, can I just tell you this piece of advice? If you're in the down and the dumps and the glooms and the despairs and in the garden eating worms, don't go visit somebody else who's there. For heaven's sakes, if you're having a bad day or you're discouraged, find somebody who's got a little bit of encouragement. Find somebody who can speak a little bit of life into your situation. Find somebody that'll dance with you. Find somebody who will sing with you. Find somebody who will just stand beside of you and say, it ain't all as bad as you think it is, and we're going to get through this. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to believe God for the impossible. Sometimes you got to laugh your way through it. Hallelujah. How many know her laughter was her power over her barrenness? She had to laugh in spite of empty wombs, empty dreams, empty bank accounts, empty nests. Amen. Hallelujah. Your womb is needed. It's the heart of opportunity for God to do the impossible. Don't live in your failures or your inabilities. Yesterday was yesterday. Amen? Today is a brand new day. Give me Hebrews 11, 8 through 12, Carlin. Hallelujah. I said before, I owe where I am today to my mom, to my dad. We don't always take the opportunity enough to say how much we honor those people in our lives. And a lot of times my dad gets the credit, and he was a great man of God, and I honor him for that. But my mom really was the seed of faith that started it all. And she was the glue that held us together till we got it figured out. We did a lot of crying, but we did a lot of laughing in our life. And she was the strength. I honor her. I raised two kids. I have no idea how she managed through seven without killing half of us. Or, you know, all of us made it through. Hannah asked her the other day when she said, Hannah, I was your age and I had six children. Hannah said, Grandma, how did you do it? She said, I cried a lot. She said, there were a lot of days I just sit down and cried because I didn't know what else to do. I cleaned one room. When I come back, that room, and they'd all move to the other room. And when that room would be dirty, and I'd come back and clean that room. And she said, after a while, I'd just sit down and cry because I didn't know what else to do. We all joke and laugh and make fun of her because we said we all have a fear of scrubbing our kitchen floor because we think it won't dry all day. She used to say, I'm going to scrub the kitchen floor, and she'd put us all outside in the yard and lock the door. And 6 hours later, the floor still wasn't dry. And all of us, we still have scars. We still have phobias of scrubbing the floor because it never will dry. If you scrub it, it's not going to dry. You're not going to get back in. It was the only moment she had peace is when she scrubbed the kitchen floor. And so we laugh about that. How many know those laughing times are what makes it all worth it? We didn't have it all together, but together we had it all. And so we had faith. When we didn't have anything else, we didn't have money, we didn't have, you know, fancy clothes, we didn't have anything else, we had faith. We had faith in God, and we had each other. And so, you know, don't ever underestimate the influence you have on somebody else's life, or the power to change, or the power of God to change your life or your circumstances. She laughed at God when God began to call, that God could call an alcoholic and a woman with six kids to any kind of ministry, much less to pastor. I mean, no, that's funny right there. That's funny right there. Loaded us all into the van that they called the tribe and the bus. We were drug babies growing up. We were drugged to revivals, drugged to tent meetings, drugged to church, drugged to conferences, drugged to Sunday school. And we survived it. And now we're addicted to all those things. Hallelujah. She was a woman preacher when women preachers weren't cool. She got hate mail. People would say, you know you're not supposed to preach. She said, don't tell me, tell God. She paved the way for some of us to have it much easier than what they had. She encouraged a seed in me that I didn't see. She talked me into preaching on radio broadcast when I was just a little girl. She embraced a message beyond just the holiness message that we knew and just the salvation message, to bring us into more of a kingdom mentality and to bring us into where we are now. And she was one of the first in the families to embrace that. And she was a founder of this church and one of the greatest inspirations in my life. She spent many a day in tears, but had faith to move mountains. Never underestimate the approval of a mother in your life. There's a call for godly women that aren't runners. Many times she could have run. She said the other day, I didn't know where to go. I didn't have anywhere to go. Not everywhere you can run and take six kids. Amen. Or seven. At the time it was six, and then we got seven. Seven's even harder than six to run with. Nobody wants you to stay over at your house when you got seven kids. She wasn't a runner. She held on. She stayed put. She dug in her heels. And sometimes you just got to laugh. How many know the church is a woman? The church is the woman, the bride of Christ. And it needs to take care of its children, to clothe them, to feed them, to direct them, and to prepare them for their future. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. I mean, sometimes you just go on blind faith, not knowing where it's going to take you. But you go out in blind faith, verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. One of the greatest ingredients in a strong family is to look for a foundation. That your foundation, the builder and maker of your foundation, of your home, to be God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is in the seashore innumerable. Hallelujah. Because she judged him faithful. She judged God faithful to bring to pass everything that he promised that he would do. Anybody can do it if it's easy. Anybody can believe when it's simple. But how about when it looks like the impossible? Can you have faith to believe and say, God, I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe you beyond your promises. How many know there came a time when Abraham took that little boy whose name was Isaac, whose name was Laughter, and took him to a mountain of sacrifice. God said, now I need you to sacrifice. You know that son I gave you by promise, that miracle I gave you? I need you to take him to the mountain, and I need you to offer him to God as a sacrifice. And Abraham didn't question God. It doesn't tell us what Sarah said. But I'm guessing Sarah's back in the tent saying, Abraham, when you come back with that down from that mountain, you better have my son with you. Don't take my son to the mountain. That's my promise. But the scripture says that Abraham judged him faithful, that even if God had to raise him from the dead, the same God who birthed a son out of a dead womb was able to raise him from the dead if he had to. Took him to the mountain, and when the little boy said to him, hey, Dad, we got the wood and we got the fire. We got everything, but Dad, did you forget something? Hey, Dad, we forgot the sacrifice. Abraham said, it's all right, son, because God's going to provide himself. Aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago on a cross called Calvary that God provided himself as a sacrifice for me? Because when Abraham got to the mountain with that son and would have sacrificed him, God stopped him and he looked over and he saw a ram or a lamb caught in a thicket of thorns, all wrapped up in thorns and thistles. Hallelujah. How many know there was a lamb on a place called Calvary that was all wrapped up with a crown of thorns and thistles on his head, who became my lamb of sacrifice and who died in my place? Hallelujah. One of the greatest things that Abraham taught Isaac on a mountain is don't ever underestimate the power of God. If God says that he will do it, he will do it. And when he showed his son the sacrifice on the mountain, how many know there's got to be some dads that take some sons to the mountain and say, God's going to provide himself a sacrifice, and you need to pay attention today, son, because God is going to demonstrate his redemptive power to you today, and you're going to know the same God that Abraham knew. Hallelujah. God's going to provide himself a sacrifice. And Abraham and Isaac walked down, back down off of the mountain, because if God would have taken the son, he would have raised him from the dead, because God is not slack concerning his promises. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for him today? Aren't you glad for a life of faith? Hallelujah. It just starts somewhere. It starts with small beginnings. Never underestimate small beginnings. You may say, Pastor Lisa, that may sound good for you, but that'll never work for me. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. Start somewhere. Hallelujah. Start making provision and preparation. Get up out of the tent and say, God, I'm just going to believe you in spite of my circumstances. I'm going to believe with faith for you to do the miraculous. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother John, do you have something?
Of good and evil.
knowledge of good and evil. Yep.
So
that tree always brings shame. Yep.
He said, and receive the Ten Commandments.
Go to the mountain and receive the commandments.
Gave it the tree of good
and evil. Good and evil came through the commandments.
The
Amen.
The only thing that that would do would destroy
life. Yep.
That was the only thing that it could ever do. Until
bring judgment.
God sent his son on the scene.
Yep.
And they bought the woman and they were going to sell her to them.
Yep.
Yep,
he was going to stone to the woman that was taken in adultery.
And God said, John said, he that is without sin, he said, let him cast the first stone. Up until this time, there's a lot of bloodshed through the animals, and there's bloodshed through the human life.
Yep.
Okay. God said, now I'm going to do something else here. He said, I'm going to plant a tree. And it's going to be at a place called Golgotha.
He Amen.
Said, and then I am going to take the knowledge of the truth and the life and bring that forth.
And bring life.
And from that day forth, come life instead of death.
Absolutely. Knowledge of truth and life is always more powerful, Brother John, than the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's not what we can do in our own self, but what he can do through us. Hallelujah. For with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Do you believe it today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Get ready for the impossible.
Get ready.
Amen. Get ready for the impossible. Hallelujah.
Amen.